Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by IBCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with IBCool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com. And by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. Welcome back to Talking Golf with Anne Liguori. And the Open Championship heads to Royal Birkdale on the northwest coast of England the week of July 13th. And joining me is Chris Thompson, a member there for 20 years and on the club's championship committee. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, Anne. It's a great pleasure to speak to you. And as you probably know, us Brits like to talk about the weather. And I'm talking to you from sunny Southport. And the long-range weather forecast says it might just be warm and sunny for the whole of the championship. So I can't quite believe that, but it would be quite something if that happens. So fingers crossed, everyone.
And that is wonderful news. I hope you do have a little bit of weather, though, a little bit of wind at least, right? But and I'm here in Southampton, New York, and we've had rain. We're having more UK weather than you obviously are. But Royal Birkdale, Chris, has hosted more Opens than any other venue aside from St. Andrews. What a history for Royal Birkdale. I have the numbers here. 11 Open Championships, 2 Ryder Cups, 6 AIG Women's Opens, 5 Amateur Championships, a Senior Open, a Walker Cup, and a Curtis Cup. I mean, you don't get better than that history for sure.
Yeah, most of that is really all from the Second World War onwards. And it's really interesting. And one thing, we'll talk about the work that's happened at the club recently, but one thing that I think a lot of us have learned is that there was a major overhaul to the course in the early sort of late 20s, early 30s, sort of 100 years ago now. And the instructions were for it to be purpose-built as a championship venue. And that's what happened. And it's the only one of the Open Championship rota courses that, if you like, was purpose-built in its sort of current guise as a championship venue. And we were originally, Royal Birkdale was originally slated to host the Open for the first time in 1940. But obviously the Second World War intervened, and then we hosted the Amateur Championship in 1946. And ever since then, since the Second World War, this will be the 11th Open that we've had, which is outside of St. Andrews, is the most of any venue in that period. So to say we're proud of that would be an understatement. And we're all delighted and very proud that the Open's back in town next week.
When you think about that purpose built, I mean, that you were the first, right? Royal Birkdale. I mean, that really doesn't happen.
No, it was very unusual at the time. And a feature of the golf course that people talk about and the players talk about is that it's the furnace of the test of golf. And so whereas the classic British Lynx courses that lots of your listeners will have been across and played, where you go over the dunes. So when the new layout was put together at Royal Birkdale, it was very much playing between the dunes. So it's a feature of the club that the fairways are, compared to some Lynx courses, are relatively benign. From a viewing point of view for spectators, it's a popular venue because you can get up high on the dunes that go parallel to the fairways and also sort of surround a number of the green complexes. So a fair test is how it's viewed by the players historically. And let's hope I'm sure they'll have the same opinion this time next week.
Well, I was looking at the information you sent, the McKinsey and Ebert plans, which are quite extensive, and they modernized Royal Birkdale, and what they started in 2021. I know there's a new par 315th. There's a new practice facility. There are new greens, fifth and seventh greens, and bunkers. So it was quite the project.
Yeah, it was a major undertaking, and it's quite brave of the club, but I think the club has always been brave, to be honest, to not scared of change. You know, We replaced all the greens after the 91 Open when Baker Finch won because they weren't in the greatest nick. So that was a major project there to replace sort of all the greens. And this, there was a necessity to do work on the golf course, primarily relating to some drainage problems that we've had. As you said, I've been a member for 20 years, and over that period of time, we've had increasing water table problems at Royal Birkdale. So whilst the place is one huge sandpit, it's lined just above the water table. And so for the last 10 years or so, I'd say about a third of the bunkers would be lying wet throughout the winter. So there'd be ground under repair. If they were actually playable, the sand would soak through, so they'd be very bare. So the very difficult lies in them. So that was a pressing need that needed to be addressed. And alongside that, for about 100 years, the Hawtrey family had been sort of consulting architects that the club had used. And Martin Hawtrey was retiring, no particular succession plan. Alongside that, Chris Whittle, who had been our greenkeeper for more than a quarter of a century, and before that at Muirfield, had done many Opens and was fantastic at what he did. He was coming up to retirement, so the sort of the stars were aligning really for change. And so the club thought, well, we need to have consulting architects, and we went through an exercise of a competitive tender process through which Mackenzie and Ebert came out on top in 2021. And at that point, we then gave them a brief of what the club was looking at doing, and front and centre of that was the drainage problems. That were not only with bunkering, but also some of the fairways were wet through the winter, particularly the second fairway, the third fairway. The sixth fairway was really bad. We also had a little bit of the fifth fairway was a problem. The 17th fairway, the last sort of 100 yards or so of that before the green, that was a problem. So that was a big ticket item. Also aligned with the fact that for members, in all the time that I've been a member of the club, bunkers generally were the biggest bugbear for the membership. And it's really quite interesting because if you have a look at sort of YouTube footage of the official film from the 1971 Open at Birkdale, when a certain Lee Trevino won it, it's fascinating how the bunkers are so different to the way they were before. They've just been redone. So relatively shallow bunkering, grass faces, none of the big rivets that you see now. And then over the sort of 50 years since then, the rivets came in. Then over the time, they've got smaller and gnarlier. And you got to the point where, don't care what your name is, you could be Nick Faldo, Rory McIlroy, or a mid handicapper. If you're in most of the bunkers, fairway bunkers in particular, you're not advancing the ball very far, you're flipping it out. Now, some might say that isn't that marvelous, and if it's a championship venue, that's what you want. But for 99.9% of the time, the people playing Royal Birkdale are the members' guests, visitors, lots of visitors across from the States and Canada, and it's very, very difficult. I think I've heard Tom McKenzie speak a number of times about how miserable it can be trying to get around the thing because it's really very difficult. So, I mean, a big part of the project and the task that we set for Mackenzie and Ebert was, can you make it more playable and perhaps just more enjoyable and perhaps just a little bit easier to get round for your average golfer who's playing it most of the time, whilst at the same time looking to enhance it as a championship test? So it's quite the challenge really for, and it was Tom McKenzie of Mackenzie and Ebert who was the lead on the project. And I've heard him speak on, I've spoke to myself and I've heard him speak on podcasts, and says, there's a real challenge for architects these days because you've got people playing longer into life. We've got plenty of members into the 70s and 80s who are playing lots of golf, still fit and active. How can they enjoy their experience? And at the same time, elite players, young lads, don't need to be the world's best players. There's lots and lots of people hitting the ball miles and miles and miles, and stretching golf courses that way. So how the challenge is, how do you build a test that works for both people, so or both types of
Sure.
golfer? And so that was the challenge really. And so we've now got fewer bunkers. We're down to about 104 bunkers. We've lost maybe 20 odd bunkers in the rebuild. the bunkers. People who were familiar with Lord Birkdale, or if anybody wants to have a look back at the 2017 footage, you'll see that the profile of the bunkers is now different. They generally have a bigger footprint than those that they had before. I think in the for the Open, I think there were quite a number of fairway bunkers now where players, if they've got a decent lie, they're not up against the face, will quite possibly be able to go for the green, which has never really been the case for the vast majority of bunkers at Birkdale. And that might just help people a little bit with what they take off the team. And I've stood and watched lots of probably three or four Opens now at Birkdale, and it's a real feature of the competitors that they just avoid the bunkers. So it's a very strategic golf course. And I think now that the bunkers are a little bit sportier, possibly you might see players a bit more inclined to take a bit more club off the tee and take them on, because the penalty might not be quite as severe as it's been in the past. So we'll see how it plays out. So that the playability was front and center, really. And I mean, every bunker has been rebuilt in the winter of 24-25, which was the sort of phase two of the work that we did between 23 and 25. Our own green staff rebuilt 57 bunkers. So that they were busy boys.
What is the biggest difference for the Open Championship for the players since Jordan Spieth won it in 2017?
I think for the open field, they will notice the bunkering. We've already talked about that there are fewer bunkers, but I think the profile of the bunkers is very different. So they present a different challenge, and perhaps a bit more optimism for players if they're in there. A feature of the work that we've done, which has two hats, is in relation to the runoffs. So I've just been enjoying watching Shinnecock with massive runoffs in certain holes. So it's not like that. But at Birkdale, there were very few areas where there was significant sort of runoffs around the greens, sort of closely mown areas. And this year, compared to 2017, the players will notice closely mown turf, which will take the ball further away from the hole on holes 1, 3, 5, 7, 8, 9, back left of 10, front right of 11, left of 13, the new 14th par 5, the new par 3 15th will be box office, because that has quite severe runoffs on both sides. 16th green's been remodeled. There were bunkers on one side and plenty of sort of long grass and just hacking out the hay, really. That's now got extended runoffs. So there's all those holes where you've got much extended runoffs. Now, what people always say is for top class players, well, the ball's further away from the hole, and it gives them options and perhaps creates some doubt. So I think that for players, they'll notice that. I think for spectators, it should make for really entertaining viewing, because whereas previously the shot might have been, oh dear, we're in a pile of hay, or we're in a first cut of rough where you can just easily get a lob wedge under it and flop it up to the green. Well, actually now, are they going to chip it? Are they going to putt it? Are they going to lob wedge it? What are they going to do? There's more variety, and I think it'll be more interesting. And I think there'll be the way the weather's looking, which looks at the minute like it, hopefully we'll have it firm and fast. And I think there will be plenty of examples if people are watching the television of balls coming back to place feet. Much more than there would have been. So there's that aspect to it. And then the yardage of the golf course isn't really very different. It's about 100 yards longer than it was 2017. It's not long. It's only 7-2 something. So it's not long by any PGA Tour, any standards, really. There's a bit more going on in some of the new greens. So we've got new greens on 5, 7, 14, 15. There's a bit more movement in those greens compared to others. Fifth hole is a completely new hole. That was a bit of a blind dog leg. Now that's been opened up, so players can see the green. It's about 300 yards to the front of the green from the championship tee. Deliberately designed as a risk reward par four. So depending on wind direction, I think you'll have players will be. I could even see players knocking it on there with an iron, depending on what the wind's doing. But that certainly would have a lot more excitement on that hole, I think, for players going for it.
And
So,
of course, the par 315, that's new since 2017, right?
R315 is completely new. So So I mean, Jordan Spieth made that, that crazy 20-minute drop on the 13th hole. He then hit a shot when, if you look at the footage, he thought he'd lost that ball as well, but actually got it just short, but front right of the green, chip and putted for five. Then went mad because then he went birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie, and blew Kuchar away in the end. But the 14th hole, the par three, nearly holed a shot there. Having just sort of had this ridiculous half-hour hole, he then nearly holes it. That hole's now gone. And that, as part of the improvements in practice facilities, what was the 14th green is now one of two short game greens, which are much closer to the clubhouse than the previous short game area was. Much bigger. It's really very, very good. And then that's enabled us to bring the main hitting pad on the practice range again, much closer to the clubhouse. So by finding the new par three as the 15th hole, that a knock-on effect of that has enabled us to really enhance and improve the practice facilities, which is great. So yeah, the not where's the 14th hole gone? That would be a yeah, that would be a a good question that they might ask when they first turn up. So the finish is different because before you had 12 as par three, 13 par four, 14 par three, and then you'd have par five, par four, par five, par four. The flow of it's better now, I think, because you go the 12 par three, then par four as 13, then par five, 600 yard par five, now the 14th hole. So that effectively is an amend a change to what used to be the 15th hole, which played at about 540. So that's now 600 yards, and that hole, the green on that hole, is now back and to the right and raised from where the old 15th green was. Then you move across and play the 15th at 241 if they want it at full length. So there's the flow is better because you sort of par three, par four, par five, par three, par four, par five, and then 18s par four. The 18th actually is very substantially changed, particularly on the tee shot. So that played at about 480 from a dogleg high tee, which is up on top of the 17th green, and wasn't great from a. It was all a bit cramped in there, and it's quite noisy. And that tee was up. That played as the back metal tee for members as well. And then there was always other tees crossing to the left on a straighter line to the hole. So that meant we had a double fairway, which I think compromised how the hole could be protected in terms of bunkering. Now that top tee's gone, the hole will play at about 510, par four, and it's much more heavily bunkered from the tee. So I think the bunkering starts at about 250, goes probably right through to 330. It's a proper tee shot at the 18th now, so it's a much harder hole.
So, Chris, based on these changes in 2021, these revisions to Royal Birkdale, do you think it will play tougher? Obviously, depending on the weather, but the course itself, the layout itself, is it a tougher test for the guys competing in the Open Championship?
I think it's very, very wind dependent. I mean, when Harrington won, he was over par. It blew a gale all week. It was great. They had to use the members' tees on a couple of holes. It was so windy. So it's very weather dependent. I think some of the bunkering, as well as the bunkering being, if you like, the profile being slightly easier, if you like, as a rule. But there's been repositioning of some bunkers. So some shorter bunkers have been taken out that are only really in play for sort of your average club golfer, and bunkers put further down the hole, so there's more in the way for the top players. I think if we get the weather that we look like we're going to get, which is firm and sunny and pretty warm, sort of mid-70s Fahrenheit temperatures, they can get the golf course firm and fast. I think if we can get it firm and fast, it will play trickier than it was last time if we get a decent breeze. These links courses need any course really. It needs wind, doesn't it? I mean, in 2017 on Saturday morning, Brandon Gray shot the first 62 in a major ever, and it was perfect. It was flat, calm, not a breath of wind. It wasn't particularly firm, and he went mad. Fair enough. So I think if it's firm, if the weather holds, I think it'll be tougher because there's a lot more going on around the greens than there was last time. So the penalty for a shot that's not quite right, I think, will be more severe.
Sounds like it. Well, you had mentioned some of the stars who won there. Arnold Palmer back in 1961, Lee Trevino in 71, Johnny Miller in 1976, Tom Watson in 1983, Ian Baker Finch, Mark O'Meara, Padraig Harrington, and Jordan Spieth. I mean, what a list of champions, truly.
Yeah, it does tend to, the cream does tend to rise to the top at Royal Birkdale. Perhaps that's, the players have always talked about the fairness of the challenge. It's all there in front of you. There's nothing tricked up. There's not really any blind shots on the golf course. You know where you're going. There's no crazy kicks on the fairways of sort of severe undulations. It's all there in front of you. And the cream does tend to rise to the top. And I've no doubt that it'll be the same this year, really. I think all those winners. The Trevino was obviously Palmer was the best player in the world. Peter Thompson won it twice at Birkdale. He won it five times. He was the king of links golf. No one better than him on links turf. Trevino, world's best player. Johnny Miller went mad, didn't he, for a few years. Tom Watson, that was the last of his five Opens. He was best player in the world at the time. And even Baker Finch, I mean, he was in the last group in '84 when Seve won. He played with Watson in the last group in '84. He was in the last group in 1990 when Faldo won at St Andrews, and he was one of the very world's very best players when he finally won it in 91. O'Meara won the Masters the same year, and Spieth, that I think it was the last of Spieth's majors where he looked like he was going to win everything every year, didn't he? 20-foot putt was a gimme for Spieth for about 3 or 4 years, wasn't it? And Harrington was in the middle of his spell where he won three majors in 2 years. So I would be surprised if the winner isn't one of the world's top players who has been in form in the last 2, 3 months. Maybe. I think the nearest we've come that I can think of to, if you like, a surprise winner was probably Brian Watts, who got in a playoff with O'Meara in 98. And then O'Meara was too good for him in the playoff. But let's see. I wouldn't be surprised if S. Scheffler or Art McIlroy are near the top of the leaderboard next Sunday night. Put it
That
that
was exactly my next question. What's the buzz amongst you members at Royal Birkdale about players who you're picking to win there? I mean, you have defending champion Scottie Scheffler, who
way.
surprisingly has not won a major yet this season. Rory
Yeah.
McIlroy having repeated as Masters champion. I mean, there's so many compelling storylines.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I think around these parts, obviously, Master Fleetwood is I'm sure if you canvass the members, about 90% of them would say we'd love Tommy Fleetwood to win for obvious reasons. Not to put any pressure on you, Tommy, but I think also Justin Rose would be an incredibly popular winner. It all
45
started with
years
him.
young.
Yeah, well, it all started for him in 98. He was 17 years of age. He finished fourth, I think. He holed out with a wedge on the 18th hole in front of the grandstands. And that was the start of it all for him. So I think if you canvassed the local population, we'll have Fleetwood, please. And if he's not going to win, we'll have Justin Rose. And then if he's not going to win, let's just have, well, whoever wins, but I think any club would want one of the world's top players to win at their venue, wouldn't they? And I'm sure we'll get that.
Wouldn't it be great if Tommy Fleetwood would win his first major in his home country? That would just be a phenomenal
Yeah,
story.
I can't imagine what it would be like to be him teeing it up on the 18th green on Sunday, on the 18th tee on Sunday, knowing he needed four to win. I just can't imagine what that must be. I get nervous in the mixed knockout. I mean, I'm sure he'd love to have that problem, but I just can't imagine what would be going through his mind if he got into that position. But let's hope he does.
Chris Thompson, thank you so much. Member at Royal Birkdale for 20 years on the club's championship committee. Thank you so much for sharing all these nuances about your club and looking forward to the Open Championship.
My pleasure, Anne. We're all excited.
Sports. Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by IBCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with IBCool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com. And by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf.